was meant to be a verbal expression of one's feelings. The verbal expression can be with tremendous amount of emotion, but we're talking over here about words. Shima tfilasi Hashem v'shavasi ha'azina. That it's a form of tefillah. Elecha Hashem shavasi, shivati elecha v'tir po'eni. However, za'aka, tza'aka, shetso'ek ve'eno omer klum. We go beyond words, above words. We can no longer verbalize it. There is not a sentence which comes out. Amar Rav Yehuda, if we have to compare these two forms of tefillah, hilkach gedola tzaka mikulan, it's the highest level, shetzaka hu balev. Because the moment you go beyond words, then you go beyond the mouth, which could be theoretically superficial, straight to the jugular, straight to the heart. Hadod chsiv tzak libam el Hashem. Tzaka uzaka davar echad hu. And the Zohar then concludes the section, v'ze krova l'Kadosh Baruch Hu yoter mitfilah v'anacha. That if you have the choice between a verbal tefillah and a non-verbal tefillah, the non-verbal tefillah is on a higher level. D'chsiv im tzaok yitzak elai shemoa eshma tzaaka. So, this is the highest level. Then the Zohar continues, Amar Rav Brechia, b'sha Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Shmuel, nichamti ki imrachti et Shaul l'melech. And Shaul was Shmuel's creation. He was a shatran. Maksiv vayichar l'Shmuel vayitzak el Hashem kol halayla. He niach hakol v'lakach tzaka mishum dehi krov HaKadosh Baruch Hu yoter mikulu. He took out his ultimate weapon. He let all stops were barred. Then the next keta again from the Zohar. Haiman v'tzali ubachi v'tzoik ad delo yachil lemirchash v'sivivasei. Someone who reaches a level where he can no longer move his lips. Hai tzlusa shlemta. That's considered to be the fullest form of tefillah. Why again the he beliba? And such a tefillah la'olam lo hadra rekanim. We're not concerned with tefillah in terms of its effectiveness. We're concerned with tefillah in terms of its means of communicating with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So basically, if we have to summarize what's being said over here, is that we pointed out that everyone can take needs to different degrees. Most of us view our needs as l'chatchilas. We'd like to have more sipuk from our learning. We'd like to have more meaning in our davening. But we don't necessarily view it that if I don't have sipuk from my learning or I don't have meaning in my davening, I want to commit suicide. That we know we don't go. That's the difference between bakasha and shava. Moving over to tzaka means that we feel such a degree of frustration that we can't even express it verbally. We can't even tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu how we feel because it hurts us so much, because we feel that this is something. The equivalent is, let's say, for example, you hear someone, you're at home, you're in bed, and you hear someone fiddling with your lock, right? So you pick up the phone and you dial 911, and you say, I'm here at 75 Crescent Avenue in Far Rockaway, someone's fiddling with my lock. But then you hear the door open. You don't begin saying, and I'm going to repeat the information, you just sort of yell, help, right? In other words, that it's no longer time for a verbal explanation of what is happening to you. You go and express, I would yell if I was in a sketch, you want to express yourself in the fullest manner, mitoch kol halev. Or, let's assume that you're on the subway, right? And again, you see someone walking towards you on the subway who is much bigger than you, so you pull out your cell phone, and again, you call 911, then he keeps walking towards you. You don't dial another number, right? And there's nowhere to run. A person just would scream. Now, as we pointed out, shava doesn't necessarily mean a change in terms of one's body actions or in terms of the volume of one's voice. Shava is a qualitative darga. It's not nothing to do necessarily with external manifestations. Hu'a din za'aka doesn't have to be a scream that can be heard in decibels. A za'aka can be a soundless scream. That's also a za'aka. Namely, the inability to express oneself verbally, and that is the highest level of tefillah. That's the tefillah which is most ritzuya, because clearly that is coming from the innermost part of the individual. To a certain degree, this is the concept on Rosh Hashanah of blowing the shofar, namely that the shofar, whatever the kavanos are, in terms of din, in terms of rachamim, in terms of shofar shel Mashiach, in terms of shofar shel Matan Torah, and shofar shel Har Sinai, etc., etc. So why don't we just say all of that? In other words, why bother to bring a kli into the Knesset and blow a kli where it may not be a malacha, but clearly we're dealing over here with something that requires a heter on Rosh Hashanah in order to be able to blow this kli shir. So why do we bring it in? Because it can express more than what we'd be able to say in words. It's a deeper feeling. When you hear the shofar, the alarm that's coming from the shofar is generally deeper than a musar shmuz that you would hear from an individual that was verbalized. This goes, again, beyond words. To a certain degree, this is also the concept of the kelim, the klei shir in the Beis HaMikdash, that it was, in other words, that the Leviim sang words, but they were accompanied by klei shir, and there's Machokis and the Gemara, what accompanies what? Do we say the words accompany the shir, or does the shir accompany the words? What exactly is the ikar? The fact that you have such a machlokes, that's over here on the level of the zakah. And he ends off over here with a very, very, very special mashal that I think about quite often. He says, let's say a person is mining for diamonds, and he digs down into the earth, and he's chipping away with his kli, whatever, a chipper, whatever you use to chip away at rock, and all of a sudden he reaches a rock that he just can't break through. He tries from the left, he tries from the right, he just can't break through that rock. So would we expect at that moment that the person would just take a deep breath, move 100 meters away and begin chipping again? Or would he say, I found the diamond? In other words, that the diamond is exactly that rock that can't be chipped. That's over here the concept of zaka. That when a person reaches a point where he feels he can't daven, why can't he daven? Because his sorrows are too overwhelming to be able to verbalize to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's this, and there's this, and there's this, and there's this, and it just keeps coming and coming, and he looks around him, and he just can't verbalize. Or he feels that he has placed himself in a position where he is so far from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, how can a Kadosh Baruch Hu possibly listen to him? Look what he's done with his life. Look how far he's put himself. How can I think of communicating with God after I've betrayed him, after I've ignored him, after I've slapped him in the face? How can I communicate? That's exactly the point of reaching the diamond. That's where the za'aka comes in. Enochinami, that the person can't reach a Kadosh Baruch Hu any longer verbally, but a person can still reach a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the za'aka, in the nonverbal manner, heart to heart. Lev medaber alev. We speak about dvarim hayotzim min halev. Nichnasim el halev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, Rachman Oliba Boy. The moment that we can verbalize something, it means that we're still rational about it, that there is still something that is controlled, that our heart is being controlled by our intellect, and we're able to verbalize. But when reaches a point sometimes where one can't verbalize, that's not the time to give up. That's not the time to say, I've lost my connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the time to realize that there is a higher connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu, which goes beyond words. That's the concept over here of Zaka. It's a short perek, but I think it's a very, very powerful perek. But we'll tomorrow we'll move to the next lashon of Tefillah, Ne'aka.